So we're back again. Either there's a big machloket. You might be aware that whether the Mishkan is a lechatchila or b'di'eved. Was the Mishkan something that God had commanded before, prior to Chet Ha'Egel, or as a result of Chet Ha'Egel? And of course, there have to be answered. We have to answer questions lechan ulechan. Why is it mentioned before as well? If it was only given after. And in what way does it relate? Exactly right, Refuah L'Makah. We won't relate to this question because, as I said, we skipped Chet Ha'Egel, but we're going right back on track where we started a couple of weeks ago, and we're back with the Parshiyot of the Mishkan. And Parashat Vayakhel begins exactly in the opposite order to the Parshiyot, the previous Parshiyot of the Mishkan that we read before Ki Tisa, which end with Shabbat. Okay, we have the Parshiyot of the Mishkan, and then we end them with Shabbat. And Vayakhel begins with Shabbat. Parshat Vayakhel Pekudei that we read this week begins with Shabbat, and then Moshe goes on to give the commandments. Why does Shabbat appear at the end of those Parshiyot and at the beginning of these Parshiyot? So we have the classic Parshanim telling us that whereas the idea of Shabbat is something which is secondary to the Mishkan as far as the commandments that are given, Moshe has to bring the concept of Shabbat into play. He has to present it before the beginning of the building of the Mishkan, because practically it's important that the people know that they're not allowed to build the Mishkan on Shabbat. But it's not really so surprising that we find Shabbat within the context of the Mishkan if we realize that in general we have a lot of parallels between Maaseh HaBri'ah, Maaseh Bereshit, the beginning of Bereshit, and this is the table that's before you, and the process of the building of the Mishkan. I really only brought you a few examples, but there are many more. I'd say a few jarring examples, a few examples that are really right there in the text. But there are words and expressions that come up both in the story of the Bri'ah, of the creation of the world, and in the context of the building of the Mishkan. And here I'm not only talking about the Shemot context, though very heavily within the Shemot context, but the larger context of the Mishkan, as the Mishkan is presented also in Vayikra, also in other places in the Torah. And so just to give you a few examples, we see we're starting really from the end, in Shemot Lamedtet, at the very end, after Moshe, after the Mishkan is built, everything is put together, it says, Vayar Moshe et kol ha-melacha, v'hine asu ta ka'asher tziva Hashem ken asu, and Moshe saw all of the work that they had done, and they had done it just as Hashem had commanded, ken asu, this is exactly what they did. This is something which is heavily stressed throughout Parshiyot Vayakhel and Pekudei. In other words, whereas we have the commandment to build the Mishkan in Truma and Tetzaveh, and the beginning of Ki Tisa, in Vayakhel Pekudei we have the actual building of the Mishkan, and we hear this mantra over and over again that they did things exactly as they were commanded. And so we'll see a lot of repetitions when it comes to the description of the different kelim which we have discussed, and when it comes to the description of the location of the different kelim and the different zones of the Mishkan, as we've discussed, but there's a big stress on the fact that everything that Moshe had commanded, Bnei Israel put together exactly as he has commanded, Al Pi Hashem, and then Moshe goes on to bless them. Vayivarech otam Moshe. We see similar wording by the creation of the world, when Hashem creates the world, Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa, Vayar Moshe et kol ha-melacha. Okay, we have a similarity there. Vehine tov meod. So we have the Vayar Moshe et kol ha-melacha vehine, and the vehine, the parallel to the tov meod, is the fact that they did it exactly as Hashem has commanded. Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa vehine tov meod. Whereas Hashem sees everything that He's created, and it was, and He commends it for being very good. And here, whereas Moshe blesses Am Yisrael, Hashem blesses the seventh day, He blesses the Shabbat, and He sanctifies it. We have other similar words and expressions that come up throughout the story. Vayichal Moshe et ha-melacha, when Moshe completes building the Mishkan, the word that's used is vayichal, which reminds us, of course, of Vayachulu Hashemayim Ve'aretz V'chol Tzeva'am Vayichal Elokim Bayom Hashvi'i Melachto Asher Asa, when Hashem finished creating the heavens and the earth, and He completed the creation of the world. We have this expression coming up as well, Vayachulu and Vayichal, coming up twice, and specifically Vayichal is repeated here precisely. We also have, throughout the story of the Bri'ah, throughout the story of the creation of the world, and throughout the description of the creation of the Mishkan, the word ve'asu, and they did, and they made, but that comes up so heavily here, maybe perhaps this is unlike vayichal, this is a word that's common in the Torah, it's a word that comes up so strongly within the story of Maaseh Bereshit, because it comes up seven times in the context of each of the days, vayas Elokim et harakia, vayas Elokim et shnei ha-meorot, etc., seven times. And by the Mishkan, the parallel by the Mishkan, we have ve'asu li mikdash, ve'asu aron, ve'asita shulchan. About 200 times we have this this word, this expression of the creation of the different kelim. Once again, described in a similar manner to Hashem creating each one of the things that He created each day that the world, throughout the creation of the world. We also have the two words coming up within the context of the creation of man and what exactly it is that he's supposed to do on earth. Vayikach Hashem Elokim et ha'adam, vayinichehu b'gan Eden le'ovda u'leshomra. What is man supposed to do within Gan Eden? What is man? What is man's job? Le'ovda u'leshomra, to work and to protect, to take care of this world that Hashem has created. Remember that Hashem didn't create Adam in Gan Eden. He created him somewhere else. And then we have this description of God taking man and placing him in Gan Eden. And what is the purpose of man being in Gan Eden? Le'ovda u'leshomra. Of course, we immediately realize or immediately remember the chet of Adam, who instead of keeping the word of God, keeping the things that God had commanded him to keep, he abuses his power within Gan Eden and does something that Hashem commanded him not to do. But we have this expression, this relationship between le'ovda u'leshomra, the work and the keeping, the protecting, coming up in the context of the Mishkan as well. And this comes up in the context of Bamidbar, when we discuss the Levim and their role within the Mishkan. Their role is to take care of the kelim in the Mishkan, of the different vessels of the Mishkan. And there it says, these two words are used as well, v'shamru et kol klei oil moed, v'et mishmeret b'nei Yisrael, la'avod et avodat ha-mishkan. So here we have twice the root, shamru and mishmeret, coming up twice in this pasuk, and la'avod and avodat, again, throwing us back all that time, back to Adam HaRishon, to the le'ovda u'leshomra. So the function of the people who are working within the Mishkan is a dual function. It's to work and to keep. It's a function of worshiping God and protecting that zone within God is meant to be worshipped physically in this world, something which is special and important, as we discussed previously about the Mishkan. And these two words are used in this context as well. We also hear, וישמעו את כל השם אלוקים מתהלך בגן לרוח היום, that Adam and Chava, while in Gan Eden, they hear the voice of Hashem walking around in the garden to the breeze of the day. And we hear a similar wording when it comes to the Mishkan, ונתתי מישכני, this is already in Vayikra, ונתתי מישכני בתוככם, והתהלכתי בתוככם, והייתי לכם לאלוקים. The word והתהלכתי, I will walk among you, comes up in the context of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is creates a place that where Hashem could appear, where Hashem could walk among Bnei Israel, just like He walked in Gan Eden, where Adam and Chava are. And we have a similar description of the Hitalachti betochachem. Also, as far as the clothing, when there's another pasuk here I didn't bring, but we see that when Adam and Chava discover that they are naked, they make themselves chagorot. And the word chagorot comes up one more time, again in the context of the Mishkan, where the Kohanim have to create chagorot. But later on, Hashem also makes them clothing. Which clothing does He make them? Vayas Hashem Elokim le'adam u'li'ishto kotnot or vayalbishem. He makes them these kotnot, a word again that comes up in the context of the Mishkan, and He dresses them. There's this idea. He doesn't only make them the clothing, He actually dresses them. What a description. And we have a similar description, though, when it comes to the clothing of Bnei Aharon, when it comes to the clothing of the Kohanim. V'livnei Aharon ta'aseh kutonot. Again, the same word, the same garment. V'hilbashta otam et Aharon achicha ve'et banavito. And later on, we have a description of Moshe actually dressing Aharon and his sons, dressing the Kohanim. We also have similar, those elements that we use in the Mishkan in order to create the Mishkan, in order to recreate the Kelim. I didn't feel I had to bring the example here, but of the trees being created, the nature that we find within Sefer Bereshit, naturally some of the kelim are made out of wood, and we discussed the fact that Ha'adam Etz HaSadeh, that the wood is representative of man here on earth, because it's representative of nature, of the natural world, and some of the kelim are made out of wood, but we find some of the other elements that the kelim and the Mishkan itself is made out of as well, in the context of the description of Gan Eden, and that's in the description of what, of the terrain of Gan Eden, where we have four different nechalim, Shem ha'echad pishon hu asovev et kol eretz ha'chavila, asher sham ha'zahav, uzhav ha'aretz ha'hitov, sham ha'bdolach ve'evin ha'shoham. The two elements of zahav, the gold, and evin ha'shoham are elements that come up in the Mishkan as well. Ve'yasu et avnei ha'shoham musabot mishbetzot zahav mefutachot pituchei chotam al shmot b'nei Yisrael. This is in the description of the choshen that the Kohen Gadol wears. And of course, zahav, just like the trees, I didn't have to bring a description of in Gan Eden, the zahav is something which is very dominant within the building of the Mishkan as well, as we saw previously. And we have many others, but there's another very unique combination of words that comes up only in the context of Gan Eden and the Mishkan, and that is when Adam is actually banished from Gan Eden. It says, "Vayegaresh et Adam, vayashken mikedem leGan Eden et hakruvim." And he placed, but the word that's used here is vayashken, a word that of course reminds us of Mishkan. And what does he put in front of Gan Eden in order to protect Gan Eden? These kruvim. What exactly are kruvim? So we discussed that the kruvim emulate some sort of malachim, something that has to do with tzva shamayim. What exactly are kruvim is debatable, but in any case, the word kruvim comes up only in this story of Gan Eden and in the Mishkan. And then it says, "Vehet lahat hacherev hamitapechet," and this sword that swerves from side to side, that's turning around, "lishmor et derech etz hachayim," the etz hachayim, the tree of life, is protected by this sword and these kruvim that are put, using the word vayashken, in front of Gan Eden. And of course, this is going outside of the context of Mikra, of Torah, but if we go later to Mishle, and we all know this, we sing this every Shabbat, the Torah is described as etz chayim hi lamachazikim ba, and the protection of the kruvim over etz hachayim is something which resonates true when we think of the Mishkan, because what's inside the aron that the kruvim sit on top of? That, of course, is the Torah, is the Luchot HaBrit, is the etz hachayim. And here, even if we go a little bit outside of the context of the Torah itself, it's a description that rings true, because traditionally this is something that we believe that the Torah is an etz chayim. It's presented as an etz chayim, and it represents life. It represents our life, which is full of God. Within this context of paralleling, of the parallels that we see between Ma'aseh Bereshit and the Mishkan, we're not so surprised to find that Shabbat comes up in the context of the Mishkan. Of course, Shabbat is some sort of pinnacle, some sort of peak that we reach within the Ma'aseh of Bri'ah. It's a time that Hashem rests, that he has finished the creation. It's a time of looking back, of reflecting. Shabbat Vayinafash. Shabbat is a time that Hashem looks at his creation and creates the concept of rest. And of course, rest here is God has no need of physical rest, but rest from work, ceasing from creation, and being able to take inventory of what was done, being able to appreciate everything that there already is in the world. And this is a description that we have already in Shabbat in Bereshit. But Shabbat Bereshit is not the only Shabbat that we've heard of up until this point. And I want to just, how much time do we have? We have enough time. I want to just do a quick review of the different Shabbatot that we have encountered throughout the Torah, because we have different descriptions and different elements coming up different times when we have a description of Shabbat. Of course, the first Shabbat, the primal Shabbat, takes us back again to Bereshit Perek Bet. And we should really begin with Bereshit Perek Aleph, the last Pasuk in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayar Elohim et kol asher asa, v'hineh tov me'od, v'yera v'yivoker yom ha-shishi, and it was evening and it was morning, and the sixth day came. V'yechulu ha-shamayim v'ha-aretz v'chol tzeva'am, ויחל אלוקים ביום השביעי מלאכתו אשר עשה, וישבות ביום השביעי מכל מלאכתו אשר עשה. So the heavens and the earth and everything inside was complete, was created, and Hashem had ceased to create everything that he had made, and he stopped on the seventh day, and there was no more creation at this point.
וְיַבָּרֶךְ אֱלֹהִים אֶת יוֹם הַשְׁבִיעִי וַיְקַדֵּשׁ אֹתוֹ כִּי בֹּא שָׁבַת מִכָּל מְלָאכְתוֹ אֲשֶׁר בָּרָא אֱלֹהִים לַעֲשׂוֹת.
And Hashem blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because this is the day that he ceased from work, the work that he had created. Now, within the context of Bereshit, the psukim assume that we don't have all of the knowledge of what Shabbat really is about, from all of the other psukim in the Torah, and from our upbringing, and from the way we actually keep Shabbat. Assuming this, these psukim really are very strange. In other words, the sanctification, we, in our world, in our lives, we sanctify work. We say the Sheshet Yamim Ta'asim Lacha, the fact that we work hard, the fact that we are productive, the fact that we are creative, we see this as a blessing. We see this as a very positive thing. And here, Shabbat is presented almost in a strange light if you don't take into account the other psukim that describe Shabbat, because what here exactly is being sanctified? The fact that Hashem is not working in here. We could go back to the idea, the fact that nothing is happening here. Nothing happens on Shabbat, right? So we could go back to the ideas that I already mentioned now, that it's important not to just keep going and keep going. It's important to stop at some point and look back and take inventory and say, look, what have we done here? And this is an important concept in and of itself. But here, this goes beyond an important concept, okay? This is, you know, work is an important concept, Shabbat is an important concept, because Hashem sanctifies this day, because Hashem blesses this day. And I think that we already, at this point, it's important not to look at these psukim in a vacuum, but to look into the broader concepts that are that Shabbat relates to throughout the Torah in order to understand why this is such an important concept. So when's the next time that Shabbat comes up? In Shemot, but where? Clearly not in Bereshit. So the next time Shabbat comes up is before Aseret Hadibrot. We're not in the Ten Commandments yet, but in the context of the man. Remember the man? When the man is given in Shemot Perek Tetzayin, the people are told that they should go and gather the man, and the man was given every day. And so we see two stories that relate to the man. The first story is about the fact that people were not confident that they really would receive the man day after day. And so they gathered the man, they gathered too much, they gathered enough for the next day as well. And then we see that the man spoiled, it went bad. And then they came to Moshe on Friday because they saw that there was so much man on the ground, and they said, what's going on? And Moshe described to them the following. Moshe said to them, Pasukafbet, that's right. Perek Tetzayin, Pasukafbet. Vehi beyom ha-shishi, lakdu lecha mishne shnei ha-omer le-echad, vevo kol nisiyah ha-edah, ve-yagidu le-moshe. On Friday, there was so much bread that they gathered twice the amount. And so the elders came and they told Moshe. Vayomer alehem, hu asher dibir Hashem, shabbaton, shabbat kodesh, la-Hashem achar, et asher tofu efu, ve-et asher tevashlu bashelu, ve-et kol ha-odef, הניחו לכם למשמרת עד הבוקר. And Moshe said, they're really right, the people are right, there's so much man because they have to gather twice the amount, because tomorrow is Shabbat, and on Shabbat there's not going to be any man. Not only is there not going to be any man, but you're not allowed to do any work that relates to the man either, and that's why he says to them, if you want to bake it, bake it, if you want to cook it, cook it. Anything that you have to do in preparation as far as the man is concerned, do now, and leave some over for tomorrow. Tomorrow there's not going to be any man. ויניחו אותו עד הבוקר כאשר ציווה משה ולא הבאיש ורימה לא הייתה בו. And they left it until the morning, and this time it didn't spoil. This, of course, is juxtaposed to what happened a few psukim earlier, where they gathered too much, and some of the man did in fact spoil, because every day they were meant to work, every day they were meant to gather man, but on Shabbat the man is not supposed to be gathered. That's why on Friday they gathered lechem mishneh. This might be the source for the lechem mishneh that we have today, the fact that we put two rolls, two breads, two challahs on the table, rather than one. And then Moshe said to them, Vayomer Moshe, Ichluhu Hayom, Ki Shabbat Hayom LaHashem, Hayom Lo Timtzeuhu Basadeh. And Moshe said, eat it today. Today is Shabbat LaHashem. Today you're not going to find any man in the field. Sheshet Yamim Tilketuhu, Uvayom HaShvi'i Shabbat Lo Yiyebo. For 6 days you gather the man, and on the seventh day is Shabbat. On Shabbat there's not going to be any man. And then, of course, the third story here that relates to the man is that they do go out on Shabbat to collect, and then Hashem gets angry at them. But leaving that story aside, the concept of Shabbat is one of, you can't find it, it's in Shemot Perak Tet Zayin, and we read from Kafbet onward, okay, through Kafva, and then we have another story about Shabbat as well, in fact. But I don't want to look into the next story about Shabbat. What Moshe does here is presents the concept of Shabbat, but here we have a concept, one of the interesting concepts that comes up pre-Matan Torah. We had a few halachic concepts that came up before Matan Torah, and we discussed in this forum the Pesach and the Brit Milah, and we saw in those concepts that there was something very powerful, very important, very crucial and essential as far as determining the parameters of our relationship with God, and this is the reason that these parameters had to be set even before the Torah is received. And I'll remind you again that halachically, if we look much later on to Chazal's point of view, if we look at Torah Sheba'al Peh, what's binding halachically, what's obligating, is Matan Torah. In other words, Chazal say about Brit Milah, for example, what's binding is not that Hashem said to Avraham, you and your Zerah, you have to do a Brit Milah. What's binding is that in Parashat Shmini, which is given at Matan Torah, Moshe is told, Uvayom Shmini Mol Besaro Lato. All of that Avraham stuff is nice, traditional, and familial, and we like that, and we relate to that on other levels, but as far as halacha, as far as what's binding from a Torah perspective, it's Har Sinai that's binding. And yet, we find that certain halachic concepts come up, even within the context of Am Yisrael already having become a nation, that create the parameters of Am Yisrael's relationship with God. So we mentioned two of those already. We mentioned the Pesach, and we discussed here why it's so important that the Pesach be a parameter before the Torah is even given. It has to be prior to the fact that the Torah is given, because this is part of our entering into a Brit. It's a Brit as a nation and not a Brit through the fathers, etc. The Brit Milah, once again, is my personal choice to enter into this Brit. And here we have the concept of Shabbat, and again, this is immediately after Yitziat Mitzrayim. This is before Matan Torah. And the concept of Shabbat comes up, once again, as a strong concept within our relationship with God. And this is a relationship, of course, that here is within parameters that are really significant, because we're discussing Hashem giving the man. We're discussing Hashem taking care of Bnei Israel in the desert. We're discussing Bnei Israel coming out of Mitzrayim, out of the reshut of the Mitzrim who fed them. And we discussed, I think, here also the difference between the concept of food in Mitzrayim, what free food is, and the concept of food in the Midbar, the concept of being Avdei Hashem, meaning that you have to work. And here, even though they're given man from the sky, and we usually relate the man to something, in other words, as opposed to Adam, who's told you're going to have to work hard to create your bread, here they're just being given, they're being showered with bread from the heavens, we still have a certain description of them having to put an effort in. They have to go out each day. The effort is emotional, but physical as well. They have to go out each day and believe that Hashem is going to give them man. And this concept is countered by the fact that on Shabbat, we don't work. And so this is a concept that predates Matan Torah. The next time that we see Shabbat, the next time that we are told about Shabbat, is in Shemot Perek Kaf. And this is in the context already of the Eser Hadvarim. In Shemot Perek Kaf, in Pasuk Chet, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat Lekadesho, Sheshet Yamim Ta'avod Vasita Kol Melachtecha, Veyom HaShvi'i Shabbat Lashem Elokecha, Lo Ta'aseh Kol Melacha, Ata Uvincha Uvitecha, Avdecha Ve'amatcha Uvemtecha Ve'gercha Asher Bisharecha. You have to remember Shabbat and sanctify it. We didn't have the sanctity coming up by the man, but we did have the sanctity of Shabbat coming up by Maaseh Bereshit. Okay? So we have a similar concept, but where are we going with this concept at this point? Sheshet yamim ta'avod ve'asita kol melachtecha. So 6 days you are going to work. Here we're going back to the man concept. In other words, we already saw this concept. Bnei Israel should already be familiar with the concept of working for 6 days. Ve'yom ha'shvi'i Shabbat la'Hashem Elokecha. Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. But on the seventh day you're not allowed to work. So this is the concept Bnei Israel are already familiar with. What's the chidush? What's new here? What's new here is that here we have More than the parameter of the relationship with God, we have a social parameter that Shabbat sets as well. Because it's not only you who is not allowed to work, it's ata uvincha uvitecha avdecha v'amatcha uvimtecha v'gircha asher bisharecha. You and your son and your daughter and your slaves, even your animals, and even those strangers, those gerim who live among you, the foreigners who live among you, they are all not allowed to work as well. And so we have a very strong social component coming in here where we care about the people who are around us, where the idea of having a day off, that same day off which allows us not only to rest, but to take inventory, to discuss, you know, what we're doing here, to spend time with one's family, comes up very strongly here. And here we have a strong social component beyond the relationship that represents our memory of Maaseh Bereshit, our going back to the fact that we believe that Hashem created the world. We believe that we have to take care of those around us, and we have to allow for a day off once a week for all of those who are around us. Why? Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz, et ha-yam ve-et kol asher bam, v'yanach b'yom ha-shvi'i. Al ken berach Hashem et yom ha-shabbat ve-ikadshehu. Because 6 days, throughout the 6 days Hashem created the world, but on the seventh day, and the land and the sea and everything that they include, but on the seventh day he rested. And then we have Alkin. This is the reason, says the Torah, that Hashem blessed the seventh day, that Hashem blessed the Shabbat, and he sanctified it. Now, if we look back at the sanctification by Maaseh Bereshit, if we look back at the blessing by Maaseh Bereshit, which we said perhaps strikes us as strange, as opposed to all the activity, which is usually, you know, if you want to bless something, you want to bless the activity and the creativity and the creation of the world, whereas Hashem blesses Dafka the seventh day, here we relate back to that. In other words, what is the real meaning of the fact that Hashem sanctified and blessed the seventh day? I think that what's being said here is that Hashem doesn't only create the world and leave it. Hashem is present in the world, but his presence in the world has ramifications. The ramifications are that he has an expectation that we should live up to his standards of morality. In other words, the creation of this day of rest maybe was not so much for the benefit of Hashem, but for the benefit of this idea that mankind should be resting and taking inventory, and moreover that mankind should allow for all of the people who are bound to them, their slaves, their servants, their animals, their children, taught that same time. And that menucha, that concept of menucha, and that concept of us passing it on to those who are around us, the social elements of Shabbat go back to this, the idea of the sanctification of and the blessing that Hashem had given Shabbat initially. The next two times, before the Mishkan, there's one more time that we actually that we see Shabbat again, and here again we see a very strong social element, and that's in Shmot Perek Kaf Gimel. In Shmot Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Yud Bet, we have in the context of Mishpatim, and here we have a lot of different Mishpatim, a lot of different elements coming in. One of the elements is Shabbat, and here we just have one pasuk, but once again in that one pasuk we have a description, a very strong description of this social element. And it says, "Sheshet yamim ta'ase ma'asecha, uvayom ha-shvi'i tishbot, lema'an yanuach shorcha v'chamorcha, v'inafesh ben amatcha v'hagir." For 6 days you will work, you will do everything that you have to do, and on the seventh day you have to stop. And here we have again that word tishbot, stop, ceasing from work. Why? Here there's an explicit reason given. The reason is not so that you should have a day off. It's not so that you should have, obviously, clearly this is part of it. But the idea that's expressed here very strongly is lema'an yanuach shorcha v'chamorcha, so that your animals could rest. This is not only beneficial, of course the only is here, because clearly this is beneficial to everyone, but the main idea here as far as you are concerned, you that the Torah is directing this at, is that your animals should rest, so that the son of your maidservant should rest, and that the ger should rest. In other words, the social component here is almost taken out of context and saying, Shabbat is not even beneficial to you. Shabbat is for the benefit of those who are bound to you, those that you are responsible for, of the people who are below you, who are beneath you, and who you owe to take care of. And so 6 days, do whatever you have to do, but on the seventh day, everybody rests. And the purpose of the seventh day, the purpose of the rest on the seventh day, is that you should make sure, you should ensure that your animals rest. And here we don't even have bincha u bitecha, which maybe are more obvious. We don't even have the family concept. We have a strong stress on the social element. The next two times that we hear about Shabbat, here we had Shabbat in the context of Maaseh Bereishit, we had Shabbat in the context of the man, and we had these two very strong social descriptions, the social element in the description of Shabbat in Aseret Hadibrot and in Parashat Mishpatim. And the next two times that we hear about Shabbat is already in the context of the Mishkan. So the first time that we hear about Shabbat in the context of the Mishkan is in Shemot Perek Lamed Aleph. At the very end of the description, and here's Parashat Kitisa, those of you who wanted to go back to yesterday's parasha. So we have the description of all of the different kelim, all of the different locations of the kelim, how we build them, what they're made out of, how we build the Mishkan. And then at the very, very end of all of this, this is it. This is the end. After this, we have Vayiten el Moshe kechalotu ledaber ito. Hashem gives Moshe the Torah. Right before Hashem gives Moshe the Torah in order to go down, we hear about Shabbat. Vayomer Hashem in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Bet. ויאמר השם אל משה לאמור, ואתה דבר אל בני ישראל לאמור, אך את שבתותי תשמורו, כי אות היא ביני וביניכם לדורותיכם, לדעת כי אני השם מקדישכם. And you speak, Hashem said to Moshe, saying, and you speak to Bnei Israel, saying, but you have to keep my Shabbat. So Chazal here, Chazal and the Parshanim, ask about this ach, this but. Okay, why do we say but? Or what does this relate back to? What is the ach? And they discuss achin virakin mema'atim. This comes to relate to something else and to say, but keep away from something else. And so since, up until this point, we discussed the building of the Mishkan, it's important in the context of the Mishkan. This is not this is some sort of separate story. This is not bits and pieces of halachot like we hear in Parashat Mishpatim. The concept of Shabbat relates strongly to the Mishkan. That's what the ach comes to tell us. In what way? It doesn't say it. But the concept of Shabbat here relates back to the concept of the Mishkan. Achad Shabbatotai tishmoru, ki oti beinu venechem ledorotechem ladat ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. Shabbat is a sign between myself and you for all generations to come, so that you know that I am Hashem, I am the one who sanctifies you. So suddenly Shabbat doesn't relate to Maaseh Bereishit, and Shabbat doesn't relate, there aren't social components here. Hashem takes the Shabbat, Shabbat Kviya V'Kaima, Shabbat which has existed since the beginning of time, and he makes it into a sign linking God and Bnei Israel. Ushmartem et haShabbat. And you have to keep Shabbat. I'm reminding you again about the Le'ovda u'Le'shomra. Here, man is commanded to keep Shabbat. Bnei Israel are commanded to keep Shabbat. Ki kodesh hi lachem. Because Shabbat is holy. Mechaleleha mot yumat. Someone who desecrates the Shabbat is punishable by death. Ki kol ha'oseh ba'melacha v'nichreta ha'nefesh ha'im mikerev ha'me'ah. Because anyone who works on Shabbat is chayav karet, is going to be cut off from the nation. Suddenly we have Shabbat in terms of punishment. In the relationship here is not a social relationship. It's not a relationship even that stresses the positive effects of the sanctity of Shabbat and the positive effects of resting on Shabbat, but the negative effects of not keeping Shabbat. And here we have a negative stance all of a sudden. Sheshet yamim yaseh melacha. Okay, finally, here we go back to something that's familiar already. Okay? Because we heard this before. Sheshet yamim yaseh melacha. Uvayom ha-shvii Shabbat Shabbaton Kodesh la-Hashem. Kol ha-oseh melacha biyom ha-Shabbat mot yumat. 6 days work is done, and on the seventh day is Shabbat Shabbaton. The seventh day is a day of ceasing from work, and this is Kodesh LaHashem. This is a holy day to Hashem. And anyone who works on this day shall die. Once again, the concept of the 6 days of work, the concept of the rest on the seventh day, we've heard of before, but we didn't know that anyone who works on the seventh day is punishable by death. This is a new concept. We didn't hear this, by the way, by the man either. In other words, by the man, even though we have a warning to keep Shabbat, we don't have any type of punishment mentioned for not keeping Shabbat. We have Hashem getting angry. We don't have anybody being killed for not keeping Shabbat. Veshamru b'nei Yisrael et haShabbat, la'asot et haShabbat ledorotam brit olam. And b'nei Yisrael must keep, once again, the shamru, the shmira here that we mentioned earlier. And b'nei Yisrael will keep the Shabbat to make the Shabbat or to keep the Shabbat for all generations, this is a brit olam. This, once again, this is a covenant. The Shabbat is a covenant. Beini uven b'nei Yisrael ot hi le'olam. Between myself and b'nei Yisrael, this is a sign. The Shabbat is a sign, forever. Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz uvayom ha-shvi'i shabbat v'yinafash. The sign, this is a sign that Hashem created, that we believe that Hashem created the world during the 6 days, and on the seventh day, He stopped. So these harsh concepts that come in all of a sudden here in the context of Shabbat, doubled with the fact that Shabbat here relates strongly, the Ach here, okay, it's in the context of the description of the Mishkan, and also it relates directly to Melachat HaMishkan, because Ach et Shabbatai Tishmoru immediately makes us look back and saying, Ach what? This relates to what? This relates again to the concept of the Mishkan. So that Shabbat that we met previously is going to take a different, is going to create or present, represent a different relationship now that relates somehow to the Mishkan. And we hear about the Shabbat again, we have Chet HaEgel that we're ignoring, pretending that it didn't happen. In Parashat Vayikel that's coming up, once again, this time Moshe begins with Shabbat. Once again, we have the Shabbat coming up, represented by similar concepts. Vayakhel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael vayomer alehem. Ela hadvarim asher... Oh, I'm sorry. Perek lamed hei, pasuk aleph. Vayakhel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael vayomer alehem. Ela hadvarim asher tziva Hashem la'asot otam. And Moshe gathered all of b'nei Yisrael and he said to them, these are the things that Hashem commanded to do. Sheshet yamim te'aseh melecha, uvayom ha-shvi'i yeh lachem kodesh, Shabbat Shabbaton la'Hashem. So Moshe is a little bit more succinct here as far as the previous parasha that we saw. Again, whether this is a repetition, this might be some sort of tamtzit. How do you say? A synopsis of what was said earlier. During 6 days, you work, and on the seventh day is holy. The seventh day is holy. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a day of ceasing from work, a day of stopping. Anyone who works on that day is punishable by death. Lo teva'aru esh b'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. Wherever you dwell, you're not allowed to light fire on Shabbat, on the day of Shabbat. I think there are a lot of questions to answer here, am I correct? Okay. But let's go to the more, let's go one step back. I think we've determined that there is a connection between Shabbat and Maaseh Bereshit. You all agree? Okay. Clearly there's a connection between Shabbat and Maaseh Bereshit. Shabbat kviya v'kaima. Shabbat is something that always existed. Shabbat is something that's described already when we have a description of the creation of the world. There's also clearly a connection between Shabbat and the Mishkan. Because Shabbat is mentioned here at the end and here as a preface to the commandments that relate to the Mishkan. Not only that, but we have this pasuk, achet shabtotai tishmoru, as opposed to the building of the Mishkan, you have to be sure to keep the Shabbat. What does this all mean? What is the relationship between Shabbat and the Mishkan? So Chazal tell us, and this I'm sure some of you know, is famous when any kid who learns the Melachot of Shabbat, what are we not allowed to do on Shabbat? Where do we learn from the Melachot of Shabbat? We learn from the Mishkan, from the building of the Mishkan, we learn the Melachot of Shabbat. And so here we're taking, instead of saying we're inserting, it's almost like saying we're not inserting Shabbat into the world of the Mishkan here within this parashiyot, but we're inserting the Mishkan into the world of Shabbat. We're saying that Shabbat relates to the Mishkan because all of those melachot that we don't do on Shabbat, we learn from the Mishkan. This Chazal say. Where do we learn the melachot from? Not from the melachot that we do on an everyday basis in the Mishkan or in the Beit HaMikdash, those things that we learned, some of which, the incense and the bringing of korbanot that we'll read more up about in Vayikra and the lighting of the menorah, that's not where we learn the melachot of Shabbat from. We learn the melachot of Shabbat, what we're not allowed to do on Shabbat, from the process of building, the building of the Mishkan. And this is an important distinction. In other words, I've heard not once people who give a nice Dvar Torah about Shabbat and the relevant parshiyot and say, well, we have the Mishkan and we have Shabbat and Shabbat wins. We have the Mishkan and we have Shabbat and we don't work on Shabbat. So it shows that as important as the Mishkan is, Shabbat is even more important. This idea is problematic based on the fact that though we don't build the Mishkan on Shabbat, we work in the Mishkan on Shabbat. The Mishkan is the biggest Chilul Shabbos that there is anywhere. They're slaughtering animals and they're lighting the menorah and they're, it's unbelievable what goes on there. There's no Shabbat in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan on Shabbat, we do the regular activities that we do every day. So people don't bring this and additional things, right? The Musaf as well. People don't bring their own animals, their own korbanot on Shabbat, but the Mikdash itself, the Mishkan itself, is perfectly functional on Shabbat, just like it is every day. There's hardly any distinction. In fact, there's only an addition, as you said here, the Musaf. There's an additional melacha that if you did, mot yumat, but the Kohanim have to do on Shabbat in the Mishkan. And so this idea of trying to place Shabbat above the Mishkan in some way is really not true. But the parshanim, the commentators, Chazal go very much in the direction of lametet melachot in the relationship between Shabbat and the Mishkan. And the parshanim go very much in this direction of the chilul Shabbat, the fact that we don't do chilul Shabbat in the Mishkan, in the creation and the building of the Mishkan. But both the parshanim and Chazal, when we look at the text, are troubling in the sense that this so much limits the idea of why the Torah is written. We know that the Torah is, is la'ad. It's something that's given to us. It's something that's supposed to be always relevant. The way that the Torah is written is, of course, significant. And so what they're saying is that the insertion of Shabbat, of the concept of Shabbat, into the Mishkan here is only to tell you an idea that's relevant once, twice, three times we had the Mishkan, and then we had the building of the Mikdash, and then we had Bait Shini, and Mirtz Hashem will have Bait Shlishi. And so all of those four times, you're not allowed to build the Mikdash on Shabbat. That really limits the scope of the idea of the reason the Torah is written the way that it's written. And so is a problematic idea. To say that Shabbat is only here to tell you that that one time, in the historical sense, the 15 minutes that the Mikdash was built is the reason that Shabbat was placed here. And so here, I think that we have to look into the concept of Shabbat and the concept of the Mishkan and try to dig a little bit deeper and say there must be some other connection here, there must be some other relationship here to justify this connection between Shabbat and Mishkan. The placement of Shabbat strategically at the very end of the building of the Mishkan in the description to Moshe, at the very beginning, the opening of the description of the building of the Mishkan as Moshe presents it to Am Yisrael, there's got to be a stronger connection. There's got to be a deeper link here. And so here, any ideas? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That you have created the world. The world has to run on dinim and halakha and order and means. And so therefore it stands to reason that that which created the world creates the Mishkan. And once you have both of those, then your everyday life is going on. By doing everyday life in the Mishkan.
Very interesting. Tell me how much this relates to it. I mean, I'd like to go in a direction that I think is similar, maybe a little bit off to the left, but I'm curious how much this relates to what you're saying as well. I think the two surprising things within the world of the Mishkan and within the world of Shabbat, of the concept of Shabbat, is taking a very universal concept. Here we have the creation of the world. What's more universal than that? That is universe, right? That's what it is. And Hashem creates the world, and He takes Shabbat, and Shabbat is the universal concept of doing something for all of mankind, of that, that resting, that stopping, that looking back and taking inventory, that allowing, and here going back to the social concept of Shabbat, that allowing for everyone around us to have a day of rest. And this idea is not limited to me and my household. This idea is not limited to my Avodat Hashem. This aspect of Avodat Hashem comes across very much through my relationship with other people. Even with the ger, even with the non-Jew who's living among us, who I have some sort of relationship to. And it's a little bit surprising when we see that the Shabbat of Bereshit, the Shabbat where Hashem represents this connection of his with the world. What is the creation of the world? The creation of the world is God's, God doesn't, the idea of Shabbat, as we said earlier, is that God doesn't only create the world and then leave it. God creates the world and he's invested in it. It's important to him what goes on in the world. And this all leads, we see Bereshit through the disappointment with elements in mankind and through channeling God's message through certain people and eventually through a certain nation is exactly God's way of saying, I want to be involved with the world. I want to be involved with people. I realize that this doesn't work necessarily on a universal scale, and so we have to channel this idea, we have to channel the concepts and the ideologies that Hashem is interested in inserting into the world through a certain person, through a certain Shevet, and eventually through a certain nation, and this is how the Torah directs itself toward the history of Am Yisrael. And here, in Shabbat, Hashem teaches us that He cares about the world, that He wants us to emulate His morality. And suddenly, Shabbat becomes oti leolam, oti beinu v'nechem. Suddenly, Shabbat becomes something which is very much about Hashem's relationship with Am Yisrael. Not about Hashem's relationship with the world. It's suddenly the Shabbat is something which is not universal, but extremely limited to the extent that, and here I'm going a little bit outside of the scope of Torah, but again, the Shabbat here as we know it, Chazal say, Goy she-Shabbat chayav mita. A non-Jew who keeps the Shabbat, it's punishable by death. And it's well known that Gerim, a convert who's going through the process of conversion, and as long as he's not a convert, as long as he hasn't completed his conversion yet, he or she is not allowed to keep Shabbat, and so they keep Shabbat in order to learn, but they make sure every Shabbat to do some act of Chilul Shabbat. In other words, the concept of Shabbat, which is so universal, suddenly, surprisingly, became something which is an ut. Something which relates directly, which is a direct connection, dafka to Am Yisrael, and not to the nations. The Shabbat that we expect to be so universal is suddenly something which is very personal and very national. But we see this same process happening. Again, this is, maybe we're looking outside of the box here because maybe we're so used to the Mishkan being ours. V'shachanti b'tochachem, v'italachti b'tochachem. The Mishkan is very much ours. But the concept of worshiping God is a universal concept. It should be a universal concept. The concept of being able to relate to God, look, it begins as a universal concept. We look back to Adam Rishon, we look back to Noah, and they're sacrificing, and they're bringing, and they're relating, and Hashem is speaking to them. It's much, much, much later in history that Bnei Israel become the ones who relate specifically to this act of pulchan, to the sacrificial aspects, and to the worshiping, the physical worship. And so when did this become something that's a national idea rather than an international idea, rather than a universal concept? And by the way, it's important to note that we see within, as opposed to Shabbat that we presented here in a very extreme way, the Mishkan, the Mikdash later on is used in order to sacrifice for Goyim as well. We see that on Sukkot we bring 70 Parim throughout the Chag representing the 70 Umot HaOlam. In other words, Goyim come and they could sacrifice certain sacrifices within the Mikdash. The Mikdash itself, the idea of the Mikdash itself is meant to be a universal concept. The concept of sacrificing to God is meant to be a universal concept. But Bnei Israel, when they're described, when they're taken out of Mitzrayim, when they're described vis-a-vis this relationship with God, this pulchani relationship, they are described as a mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. Now, if you look at the concept of kehuna within Am Yisrael, what we're told here is that Bnei Yisrael become kohanim for the rest of the world. What do the kohanim do for us? We don't see the kohanim as the be-all and end-all. They're not special or different. The kohanim here have a role within Bnei Yisrael, just like each of us have different roles. And the kohen can't be a kohen without us being an Yisrael. And so there's a reciprocal relationship here. And the kohanim represent us when it comes to the avodah inside the Mishkan. A system that really makes a lot of sense because the Avodah is very involved and the Avodah is something that has to be studied and learnt. And here we have a family that could pass on the tradition from generation to generation, rather than every father teaching his firstborn son or something like that. We have this concept of the Kohanim going and representing us, the Kohanim doing the work for us, with us in mind. Of course, our involvement is essential. And so when people bring their korban, there are certain avodot that they do. The Kohen eating is a kapara for Bnei Israel. The Kohen here is a tool, is helping me achieve that level of relating to God through the Mishkan. And so describing Bnei Israel as a mamlechet Kohanim v'goy kadosh here, Bnei Israel, all of Bnei Israel, when they come out of Mitzrayim, the essence of Bnei Israel, the place that we strive to be, is a mamlechet Kohanim, is a certain representation when it comes to Pulchan, when it comes to the sacrificial aspect. We represent the entire world. In other words, we see that Elokim mitalecha bagan leruach hayom, this description that we have in Gan Eden, is something that doesn't work. We see that man sins. We see that there's a desecration of the things that God stands for. And so we do have a certain channeling through certain people and eventually through Am Yisrael. And so Bnei Yisrael are the ones who represent. They're a mamlechet kohanim. Kohanim have to represent somebody. If we're all Kohanim, who do we represent? Clearly the Pasuk is going to that idea of us being representatives of this relationship with God as far as the rest of the world. We are an Or Lagoyim in that sense. Now, an Or Lagoyim, or a Mamlechet Kohanim, the Kohanim are dabbling daily in very dangerous work, in places where they could be killed. And we see in the story of Nadav Avihu. We see in other stories throughout history. We see that the Kohanim are dealing with dangerous stuff. And here, this Mamlechet Kohanim, just like we don't see the Kohanim as better than, but as taking on an important, essential, dangerous task of representing us, so too, Am Yisrael, this is not a statement of us being better than, it's a statement of responsibility. It's a place of responsibility. We have a responsibility toward the rest of, could just wait till, yeah, is that okay? We are in a position of responsibility to represent the nations and the world in front of Hashem and vice versa, to bring in the concepts, the ideologies, the ideas that we believe are represented by our relationship with Hashem into the world, and in that sense to be an Or Lagoyim. And here, this responsibility that we see really as a responsibility and not as a privilege is something that we see very strongly mirrored in the concept of Shabbat. And this is where Shabbat, the concept of Shabbat, comes in with its ach. What does it mean that, what does the ach mean here? Shabbat, in what way is Shabbat different from the Mishkan? Shabbat is an avodat Hashem that we all partake in. Not only do we all partake in it, we're not limited as far as space. We're not limited as far as locations. L'tavaru esh b'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. Kol moshvotechem. Everywhere that you are, you keep Shabbat. And here, the concept, I think, that's the relationship between our avodah vis-a-vis the Mishkan, our avodah vis-a-vis the sacrificial worshipping, and the concept of Shabbat here, the relationship between them, it comes to state very strongly that our job here is not limited to Pulchan. It's not limited to sacrifice. We don't only represent God, and we don't only represent the world when it comes to Ben Adam LaMakom, when it comes to our relationship with God. We represent God in the morality that He's interested in having in the world as well. And if we look back at the concepts of Shabbat, the Kedusha of Shabbat, the ideologies behind Shabbat, representing those social elements that we discussed, the fact that we are moral toward other people, and of course, Shabbat is only a reflection of how you treat your Eved the rest of the week. Once you know that you have to treat your Eved not like an Eved, not like a slave, but you have to give him a day off a week, you know that that of course is supposed to shed light on your relationship toward your Eved in general. This isn't, Shabbat is not in a vacuum. Shabbat is within the context of Sheshet Yamim Ta'aseh Melacha. And that's why the focus in the Psukim each time that Shabbat is mentioned is not only on the seventh day, but on the 6 days as well. During 6 days, you're supposed to work and you're supposed to be creative and you're supposed to be productive. And the seventh day, those 6 days reflect on your Shabbat, and that seventh day reflects back on your work as well. And here, the concept linking the Mishkan and the Shabbat is the Bekol Moshevotechem concept. It's saying we are not meant to be only leaders, only an Or Lagoyim when it comes to sacrificing, when it comes to Ben Adam LaMakom. We are supposed to be leaders when it comes to that universal concept of the morality that God wants to insert into the world. When it comes to keeping Shabbat and all of its social components that we saw before. And here, Chazal ask, and different answers are given, technical halachic answers are given as far as the lo tevaru esh b'chol moshevotechem. Why is fire the only melacha? We know that we learn lametet melachot here. Why is fire specifically focused on? Why is this? Do we have this extra pasuk that we saw in Vayakhel? You're not allowed to light fire everywhere that you dwell. And there are two components within the pasuk, both of which are juxtaposed to the Mishkan. First of all, the ish. This is not just any melacha. The ish is something we saw so strongly represents God's Shechina in the Mishkan. Ish, tamid, tukad ala mizbeach, lo tichbe. There's a fire always burning. There's the menorah, which is always burning. Hashem appears in ish. And so the ish is a representation of Hashem in this world, because when Hashem appears, when the Shechina appears in this world, it takes the form of fire. And so, what is the commandment here? The commandment is lo tevaru ish. Bekol moshevotechem. This is the second juxtaposition. This is not something which is limited to the location in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, Hashem appears b'ish. Mishkan, Hashem is there, and He says, "Here I am," and everybody could see, and everybody could sense, and it's uplifting, and it's wonderful. But bekol moshevotechem, there's Shabbat. Everywhere that you dwell, you have a relationship with God as well on the 6 days and on the seventh day that is not fiery. Is not necessarily exciting, that has other components beyond the Ben Adam LaMakom, that goes to the Ben Adam LaChavero, to the social elements of how we treat the people who are around us, how we treat the world around us, and the concepts, the ideas that we try to bring out in order to emulate God's ways. And here I brought two midrashim in this context. One, just to show the relationship, and the midrash goes a lot deeper than only the examples that I brought here. Lama hu omer Hashem ahavti me'on beitecha u'mekom mishkan kevodecha? Why does it say, Hashem, I love the place of your dwelling? Bishvil sheshakul keneged b'riyat ha'olam. Because this reminds us of the creation of the world. Ketzad, barishon k'tiv bereshit bara Elokim et ha'shamayim v'et ha'aretz. In Bereshit it says, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. And it says, Note Shamayim Kairi'a, and it says that Hashem had spread the blanket of the heavens. Uba Mishkan Maktiv Vasita Yiriot Izim. And here different concepts, different ideas are brought. And we have another midrash that tells us that we are meant to emulate Hashem's actions. Acharei Elokim, Hashem Elokechem Telechu. So it says you have to go after, walk after Hashem, your God. Is it possible to walk after the Shechina? No, you have to emulate Hashem's ways, Hashem's mannerisms. We see that Hashem clothes those who need clothes, so you also go out and give tzedakah and make sure that people are clothed. Hakadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim, Hashem visited the sick, afata baker cholim, etc. I want to go back for 1 second before we enter this Goy Sheshavat concept. Such a strange concept. A Goy, someone who's non-Jewish, who keeps the Shabbat, is Chayav Mita, is punishable by death. I think that the idea that's presented here is the statement that's sometimes made that though we learn how to sacrifice to God, we learn how to worship God within this world from the Torah and from Judaism, Judaism is not, or God is not, the place that we learn morality from. And trying to disconnect these two levels, trying to say, I go to shul and I daven and then I go home and that's the end of my religion, I wipe my hands of my religious connection, of my religious life, is not true. And it's essential to bring in the concept of Shabbat here, vis-a-vis the Mishkan, on those two levels. One is to make that strong statement that our relationship with God is not limited to the Bin Adam LaMakom. Our relationship with God is not, our representation of the relationship with God is not limited only to the Mishkan, but it goes on to the moral world as well. And that our relationship with God is not limited to the location of the Mishkan, but is happening all the time, b'kol moshevotechem. We are Today we are absent a Mishkan altogether. We absent a Mikdash altogether. But even at the time that there is a Mikdash or there is a Mishkan, the relationship that we carry out with God day in, day out, is the ongoing relationship, the way that we relate to it. And that's a place that it's important that we represent God and God's values vis-a-vis the world as well. And this is what's represented by Shabbat. Thank you very much. Shavua tov.